Blog Talk Radio.
October 19th. I don't think Maryland's that bad of a team. I thought Florida State, I thought they came out a tad bit sluggish, although not completely slow. And they just really, put it on Maryland, I mean, offensively and defensively. But I just need to see him against Clemson. I need to see young quarterback, how he's progressed. And, you'll see that against Clemson's speed on defense. And I'm still not sold on FSU's pass rush. They still don't have that pass rush to me. So we'll see. But they're definitely, a top six to me, like six to eight. Top six to eight team. I wouldn't put them in my top five, but, they got a squad. They just, I think they have, you talking about a team that's competing for a BCS title, I think they are a bit flawed in some key spots.
One of the things I like about FSU is they're young. They're a young team, relatively. Speaking of, Jameis Winston, he's a redshirt freshman, so we know ECS two more years there, and one of our wide receivers, Kelvin Benjamin, I believe he's a sophomore, and that dude is a beast. He's a big guy, big 6'5", 220 guy, and he looks like, he looks like a guy that's going to be playing on Sundays. He had a couple of touchdown grabs in this game, he's from the great city of Belgrade, Florida, and we all know how Belgrade produces football players. So it's going to be interesting to see them in years to come. Definitely. Mike, what did you take away from that game?
I didn't really get your chance to see it, but hey, that was a statement for Florida State. They're not going nowhere. They still on that radar, and some might say, I think it was a big fan win for the season because I see Maryland. That was their first L, and first L, of course, conference, first game of the conference. Don't speak well for Maryland, but, man, Florida State, man, they whoop on them. I mean, they ready. They ready and more to beat them up like that. And Maryland was a ranked team, too. So, I mean, that was to me, a big win for them, a real big win. I mean, more than big, a huge win. I mean, they blew them out. They shut them out. I can't wait to see, them playing, Clemson, some might say they might be the favorite to win the ACC. Let's see how they do against them or if they play Virginia Tech. I don't think Florida State played Virginia Tech yet, did they?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Those are two, saying games. Like, I'm waiting to see how they handle those two teams, the team that's always up there that's, contention in the ACC.
Yeah, I don't think they played this year.
Florida State, though, I mean, really, like, last year, it was ranked, how they stumbled against, that loss to NC State. That pretty much hurt them all the way down the stretch. So, and they get a chance to get they got Clemson next week. So, Clemson, that's going to be a huge right there. So, they got, I see on the 19th, it's going to be a prime time game. So, they ready.
Yeah.
That's going to be a real testament in that game.
Mm-hmm. We also had Ohio State versus Northwestern. It was kind of a sluggish win for Ohio State. I definitely think that Northwestern is a program on the come up. Pat Fitzgerald's their coach up there, and he runs a good program. Tech said earlier in the week, and I agree, I think he can coach with anybody in the country. It seems like they're a team, maybe if they can get some of that, talent from the Chicago area up there and keep some guys up there, it seems like they're a team that could, possibly do something, if they could start accumulating talent. What'd you take away from that game, Tex?
I think Northwestern and Ohio State, I think they kind of came up against another team a bit like what they came up against Buffalo in that Northwestern can somewhat match their athleticism. They just they might not have the players to put them over the top, but I, you know, Ohio State, they just look slow to me. I mean, they always look slow. They just and Northwestern, you know, and it's like I said, you know, they have no business being as good as they are, considering the resources and where they're recruiting, you know, as opposed to where they need to be recruiting. They have no business being where they are. And that's a testament to Fitzgerald. But for me, Ohio State, just they look slow. They look slow. And just the Big Ten, I thought Michigan would play faster than what they played, but they just all these teams look slow. You compare
them. Yeah, it's really disappointing this year.
Yeah, but you know what? I never expect a slew of athleticism from Big Ten schools. If I'm comparing it to a Pac-12 school or an ACC school or an SEC school or even an outlier like Boise State. I mean, you know, they're a little down. You know, Boise State, you know, they send guys to the pros. They go started running back for the Buccaneers like Doug Martin. You know what I'm saying? But they look sluggish to me. They look very, very sluggish. Not at all impressed with Ohio State, and I never am.
A lot of people are saying that, of course, people always say that, but maybe the team was looking better with the backup quarterback, Kenny Guyton, was in. He definitely maybe looked like he might be a better passer than Braxton Miller. Looking at it, I don't know. He's gone from your neck of the woods. He's from Houston too. What do you you put anything behind that?
I think he looks a little more. He's a little more quick twitch than Braxton Miller is, but. Just as a whole, as a squad, besides Dontre Wilson, they're just lacking in athleticism. I mean, you know, the offensive line can get handled by smaller athletic defensive linemen, like you saw against Buffalo sometimes. Even Northwestern, I mean, if they wrap up and tackle, they probably win that game. I mean, they look pretty athletic out there. They were getting to the ball. They just couldn't bring Hyde down. And, you know, you got to have people saying Hyde is Greg Jones before his knee injury. I just think that Northwestern just couldn't tackle.
Yeah. Mike, were you able to see that game? What did you take away from that?
I followed it, listened to it on the radio. It was a game Northwestern almost pulled out, but like you said, Tech said, I mean, seeing how they lost the game with the tackling and they just couldn't stop Ohio State at the end. I mean, they had chances in that one play. I mean, when the fumble at the end, that pretty much sealed the win for Ohio State, but with that snap. But still, I mean, it was a good – I mean, like you said, Northwestern definitely, you know, put them more on the map, more for that game, but they got to win games like that to get, you know, game day to come again to Evanston and stuff. But, like, regardless of that was a fine effort. Hopefully, you know, something to build on for the rest of the season, which I think they're going to do well down the stretch and possibly get into another BCS bowl game.
Mm-hmm. In your opinion, has Northwestern, have they overtaken Illinois as the football power in the state of Illinois?
Of course.
I think so.
I think it's been like that way even when Zip was there after they, you know, the year they had when they were, well, they ain't really been the same since that time they played USC in that bowl game. Ever since then, they just not
well,
been the
same. That's what I was going to ask you. Why have they fallen off? I mean, I remember Illinois, they used to put together, you know, decent teams every now and then, you know, like you say, when they played SC and they had Juice Williams. And I remember before that, they had Kurt Kittner there, quarterback, and Brandon Lloyd, you know, they used to have decent teams every now and then. What's causing the fall off up there, you think?
I guess recruits, not getting new recruits like they had. it's funny you mentioned Juice Williams. He was really that last big time crook, and then since then, mm-hmm. just not really. I think maybe too, coaching. I guess when Zip, knowing he got fired and he was kind of not as consistent, they really, you know, they got a new guy in through his second year, which a lot of thought he might have got fired the way they started last year because it was really bad, and he's there this year. It's just like, I think to me, you know, Fitzgerald, you know, and he's from the area too, and then a Western guy, what he's done, and Northwestern finally won a bowl game, and they hadn't won one since like 1945 or something like that. They finally won a bowl game, you know, this past year. So it's like everything, and then they're getting money and, you know, program facility and stuff because they're about to get expansion to the football field. So I think everything, you know, is going that way. And also they're playing, you know, they had a game in Soldier Field. So they're getting that. They're just getting more exposure.
You said that was your first. I didn't know that. That was Northwestern's first time winning a bowl game since the 40s.
Yeah, they haven't won a bowl game since 1945.
It's been a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought that they won when they had Damian Anderson up there. They didn't win a bowl game when they had him there.
Nah, they were in Donnell Washington too. They was missing out. It's been a long time.
Wow.
That was like historically, even though it was like almost kind of, you know, it wasn't a championship. I kind of like a championship to win, you know, not win a bowl game that long and finally win one, you know. And you know, Fajero was just what, you know, at first, I mean, of course, he went there, you know, when Randy Walker had passed away. You know, he was like the defense, like linebacker coach, and all of a sudden they put him in him. He wasn't even a guy, and all since then, he showed the coach and been the coach since, and he just, you know, he's turning that program around to a program.
Okay.
Where, like, I know. We was having that discussion, I think, on Texas Page. We were talking, you know, Texas asking a top 5 coach, but I was telling people, like, man, Michigan was trying to go after Fitzgerald, but he turned them down. He didn't even want to go for an interview. He's like, he's happy here at Northwestern. You know, that's the school he went to, and he's from Illinois, you know, he's from the south suburb of Chicago. So, you know, I don't see him leaving. If they would say he ever leave, he might, you know, go to, you know, coaching the pros or something like that if he wants to, but I don't think he's going to leave Northwestern.
Yeah, it seemed like I said, Northwestern, it seemed like they were on the come up. I know before they got Fitzgerald, I forget that coach who died, but it seemed like he had them,
Randy
you
Walker.
Know, standing in the right. Yeah, exactly, yeah. It seemed like he had them heading in the right direction when he passed away. And, you know, it seemed like Fitzgerald picked it up. So, you know, like I said, you never know if the Big Ten keeps the way it is. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a school like Northwestern took over that conference. We got a couple of close games in the University of Washington versus Stanford. It was decided by 3 points. Stanford got the win in that. And Georgia, Tennessee, a banged up Georgia team, was able to pull it out over Tennessee by 3. Both these games are pretty interesting. You know, like Tex put on Facebook, you got to take the Georgia game with a grain of salt. Georgia's very, very banged up, and they got even more banged up in this game.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're looking at a full-fledged Georgia team that was playing against them. I think they lost. I think did they lose like 3 more guys from this game too, or something like
Keith
that.
Keith Marshall, the other wide receiver, and Keith Marshall, they're out for the year.
Wow. Yeah. So that
yeah,
is
Keith Marshall.
Okay,
ACL.
That's a break.
ACL injuries.
Wow. You know, and like I said, that was a game, you know, that was a game in Neyland, too. So, you know, those, you know, it was going to be a close game. The other game was Washington and Stanford. It was another very close game. Stanford pulls out. Stanford's a very well, you know, very well-coached team, which we'll talk about later in our buy-and-sell period. But you know, get a team, but you know that's well coached. They're gonna stay in games. You know, as long as you can keep them, a well coached team can stay in almost any kind of game. Like I said, they did it here. You know, and it kind of came down. You know, a lot of controversy. Guys talking about maybe guys playing hurt, and different things like that between the coaches after the game. But Stanford pulled out the win. Tech, did you get to watch either one of those games? And if so, what would you take away from those?
Yeah, I saw some of the game. Most of it. I thought Washington they played well enough to win. I think the difference was the And, you know, I'm a buyer on Stanford as far as coaching is concerned. I think their wide receivers are better this year than they've been in the past.
Oh, yeah.
They actually have boundary guys now to go with everything else. Very well coached, fundamentally organized. I do feel like their special teams touchdown was the difference for Stanford, however. I think Washington played well enough to beat them. Washington was the better team from an athleticism standpoint, from a quickness speed standpoint. I mean, they're tons better. Washington got some athletes. They got quite a few guys that's going to get drafted here. But, you know, it's like we said, you know, the coaches, discipline, just doing timely things at the correct time. That's how Stanford kind of beat them. That in itself is impressive. I wonder, although they beat Oregon last year, I have to wonder about Stanford when they come up against Oregon. They'll definitely have to do more offensively than they did versus Washington.
I was gonna say about Watson, we were having that conversation about we were talking about coaches. I mean, I know our favorite caller Tony O'Reilly was saying about Watson, about the Pac-10, Steve Sarkisian, a coach. I mean, Washington, like I said, they ain't no surprise about them. So they always gonna be competitive.
Yeah, they put together. I think the thing is that caught people off guard about Washington is. They underachieved last year. Keith Price, their quarterback, he kind of took a step back last year to where people thought he was. You know, people were talking about he might even be a Heisman contender last year. And he kind of took a step back. It looks like the program's back on track right now. Steve Sarkisian, he's an excellent coach. Like Tech said, they're getting a lot of, they got a lot of athletes on that team. They got I forget what his name was. I think it was Kenny Pola. No, that was from USC. They got I forget what the dude's name was. They got the recruiting guy from University of California, and he brought a lot of recruits over to University of Washington. Guys that were going to be going to Cal, and that kind of had to do with Cal dipping off last year too. Right now, we got the Mouth of the South on with us, Clavel Mathis. Clavel,
what's up, man? I'm good.
All right. Okay. We're
not
talking
too
about,
good today hearing about the news, though, Clavel. We'll get into that a little later.
Okay. I got you.
No reason to talk about that, man.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we, Cam Newton's next in line. But y'all know what's up.
I guess you don't know about the news.
Julio. Oh, okay. Top five receiver.
Yeah.
I know.
Hey, but they, speaking of Cam, they did say something about him. They were saying, well, quarterbacks are struggling and this and that. They were talking about, well, yeah.
All right,
Carolina,
let's
Giants.
Get back to what we was talking about.
All right, that's fine. I think it's going to be an interesting game with this Washington-Stanford game. I want to see how – not Washington-Stanford, but was it Washington-Oregon game. I'm really interested to see how Oregon plays in this game. Because I got them as the number one team. Just got the fact that they've been blowing teams out. But I'm still not sold on them because when they always play a physical team like a Stanford, they don't match up well. So I'm not sure if they could beat an Alabama.
Yeah.
I just got to see how they play. I want to see how they play this weekend, even though I'm not saying Washington's a crazily physical team, but they're a good team, and it's a rivalry game. They're going to Washington, I believe. They're playing it in Washington Stadium, right?
Yeah.
Cali, right?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty tough place to play. That's a really tough place to play, so – you know, I'm interested to see how they respond to that. If it's like going to be a 50-0 score, that'd be impressive. If it's like a 50-0 score in their own backyard, and then they have to go to Stanford too, I believe. So I'm interested to see how Oregon plays this game. I'm gonna be watching this game very closely.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be a good game. I see it right there, Oregon and Washington.
And then in regards to who was the other team y'all were talking about? Y'all were talking about Northwestern.
Oh, well, yeah, we're talking about Northwestern. We're talking about Georgia and Tennessee, too, though, either one.
Oh, yeah, Georgia, Yeah, they just have too many injuries. I don't see them winning the national championship. And they got Missouri this weekend, a team that people will be sleeping on right now. So,
yeah,
I think they play in Georgia, though. That's the key. They play in Georgia, though, so that might help them out. And but I think Missouri will play hard. I think the game will be closer than a lot of people think. So I'll see how they can play with Missouri when they don't have all their players. But I just think their season's a wash. I wouldn't say their season's a wash, but I don't think they're going to win out the rest of their games.
Okay. All right. Well, let me bring up the callers before we move into our go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Mike. I know this was kind of off the subject, you know, it's college football, and I think you were talking about this, but what a difference a coach makes. You see, Auburn, they beat Ole Miss 30-22, and they're 4-1. Where last year they only won, I think, only won like 2-3 games. This shows you about coaching,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, well,
they recruited.
Yeah,
awesome.
I knew Gus Malzahn would do. You know, he put together a good team in Auburn. It was only a matter of time. Like it was only a matter of time before he was going to get a head coaching job. He was going to become a major head coach somewhere in the country. You know, and Auburn, you know, seemed like it's a good spot. Like I said, you know, I said last season. I think pretty soon you give him a couple of recruiting classes, he's going to have them competing for the SEC crown. Let me bring in a couple of these callers though. We got a. Our first caller from the 813 area code, 409. What's going on? You're on TNT Firestorm.
What's up, fellas? Tony Wadley.
Hey,
what's going on,
Tony?
What's going on?
Nothing much. We're talking about your favorite school, the game University of Tennessee played against University of Georgia.
Yeah, I heard that conversation. Couple of things. First and foremost, I'd like to mention that I'm going to use a boxing scenario. I heard this whole thing about how people like to watch the lighter weight boxing because the skinny guys get in there, they get right in the middle of the ring, and they just go at each other, and it's more exciting, and people like to watch that. But at the same time, if one of them little boys, one of them little skinny guys, were to get into that ring with a heavyweight man, it wouldn't last long. It's the same way with these teams from the Pac-10. They are exciting to watch because they can run the score up. But when a real defense goes against them, like Clausell said, something changes.
Yeah.
You stop their defense and you stop them. Or you stop them on defense and you stop them.
And this is based on what past proof or experience.
When they play Oregon, when Oregon plays like Stanford, when they play the physical team, I mean, Oregon couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it.
He just not said they're not playing physical teams.
What'd you say?
He just not said they're not playing physical teams.
Right, but when they do, they couldn't handle it.
When they do play physical.
When they do, they can't handle it. That's why I don't think an Oregon could beat an Alabama right now for some reason.
Yeah.
I got to see how they play against Stanford. I got to see how they play against Stanford first. You know? Don't be doing home and home against. And right. Don't be doing a home and home against Tennessee when Tennessee ain't Tennessee. Do a home and home against Alabama. Do a home and home against Georgia. Do a home and home against Florida in the Swamp.
Those schools, first of all, those schools aren't playing those other schools. Do I need to? I can go over the BCS schedule with you guys and show you guys. Like I said, there's proof that those schools have declined games against teams from out of conference. There's proof. It's been proven. Especially University of Florida.
What I keep trying to say to you is, but you got to understand, we don't need to go to other conferences when we are playing national champions
It's easier just play each other and sit back and talk about how good you are than play anybody else in the country. You're right.
I'll give you that. You guys,
we
the
win the national
guys.
Championship
you guys,
every
I'll
year.
I'll give you that. Okay, yes, you guys are the football guys. Bow down. Yes, okay, let's move on. All right.
You do it. Bow down.
You're right. Okay, you did it. You guys are the football guys. You can screw all the cheerleaders in the country. You did it.
Why do we need to go play these other teams? We don't need to play these other teams until they can prove that they can beat our
teams. So you don't need to prove that you're better than the other teams by actually playing them. You can just prove it by saying it, in other words, right? That's logical to you.
No, we prove it because we've won six straight national championships.
So in other words, you don't have to play the other teams from the other schools. You can just prove by saying it, right, instead of actually playing these other schools.
No, we proved by doing it. We have won six straight.
Yeah, when you're playing Northwestern States and other schools like that, that's easy to do that. That's very easy to go undefeated playing those types. Then you
okay,
you play, let me tell you what the average SEC schedule is. And this is me being completely real. Average SEC schedule is you'll play three tough teams from the SEC, all the other five garbage teams from the SEC, and then three cupcakes.
Five garbage teams? What? There's not more than two garbage teams in the SEC this year.
There's not.
Let's not name them.
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt's not garbage.
Says who?
They're not garbage
this year. They're 0-3 in the conference and 3-3 right now. What more?
Yeah, they're not garbage, but they're an improved team. The only garbage team right now is Tennessee.
Okay, so once again, so I'm going to stop right now because, like I say, if you're defending an 0-3 team, that means that you're not going to talk logically. So let's just stop it right now.
Tennessee, Vanderbilt, who else?
Kentucky. They're 1-4.
Okay, is Missouri garbage? Everybody thinks Missouri's garbage. They ain't garbage this year.
You said Missouri was garbage last show when I said the Big 12
games. I never said Missouri was garbage. What are you talking about? I didn't say that because look at the tape.
Oh my goodness! You said it just last show when I said.
Hold on, wait.
You said it just last show when I said Texas A&M and Missouri came in seamlessly. You said it just last show. You said Missouri is no good.
Texas A&M ain't played Missouri yet.
I said when they came into the SEC seamlessly from the Big 12, you said just last show that Missouri was garbage. Just last show you
last
said.
Year they were garbage. I said last year. Last year they were garbage. This year they're not
good. And they're 5-0. And they're, hold on. And
they're so good
they're
this
good
year.
Right
last
now,
year they were garbage.
Hold on. So they're good now after playing Murray State, Toledo, Arkansas State, Vanderbilt, who I just said was garbage, and Indiana. Now they're good, right?
I mean, they're undefeated. That's what matters.
Once again, typical SEC schedule. They play those. Now they have a game against Georgia, Florida, South Carolina. They're going to lose all three of those games. Then they have Tennessee, Kentucky, Ole Miss.
Okay, which puts them out of the national championship. What I'm trying to say to you is, we are talking about, if the teams you are talking about from these other conferences are so good, then why are they not making it to the national championship? They got to go through their conferences. They got to come out on top of their conferences.
Who's not making it to the national championship? What are you talking about?
Let's not play them because they'll beat us. Well, if they're so good, beat us in the national championship.
Beat us? So they have to compete against a whole conference or one team?
We are a conference.
We? You ever notice how people from sorry teams would always say we and talk about conference instead of their teams?
Hey, I am a Gator. We are not sorry. Watch your mouth.
Exactly. And what are the Florida Gators doing right now? What are the Florida Gators doing right now?
We are not sorry.
And what are the Gators doing right now?
Hold on. You think they're going to get money to LSU? I'm not 100% convinced of that.
We got two national championships in the last six years.
I'm not 100% convinced they're going to get mudded.
I'll put bread on it right now. Well, I don't even want to get in all
that. That's going to be a close game, but that is not going to be. LSU is not going to mutt them. Oh, no.
It's going to be a close game. Let me go over University of Florida's schedule just to prove to you what I was talking about. Toledo, the first game, the University of Florida, Miami, which they lost, Tennessee, Kentucky, they won, Arkansas, they won. Now, like I said, they have five garbage teams, except for Miami, who they lost to. Now they're going to play three good teams, LSU, Georgia, and South Carolina, and then their last game will be against Florida State. They'll end up with four losses this year.
Oh, my God. I'll put
$100
on national radio. That
I'm not.
You want to bet?
I mean, I'll say
$100 this. $100 right now. Right now. Don't talk to what you don't do it. You talking all that junk. I'll bet you $100
right
now.
Let's move on to the next topic,
games.
Yo. Let's just move on there.
Let's
move on
to
the next topic. What's going on? I want to talk about this LSU-Florida game, though. I want to talk about this LSU-Florida in a minute, though, but keep going.
Okay, hold on. Let's move on. We got let me bring in this other
classic
caller from A12. We got a lot of callers right now. I'm bringing this other caller from the A12.
This is classic.
813-784. Hello. You're always CMT Fire Squad.
What's up, fellas? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man?
There's no more Josh Freeman to talk about.
No, we're talking about. Well, we're having a crazy conversation right now. Oh, what did you think about that?
I know.
My energy
Mike,
now
Mike,
is on Cam Newton.
Mike,
huh?
I think we need to award you with the Nobel Peace Prize for figuring out the formula of the bullshit for the SEC conference.
Thank you. Thank you.
You figured it out.
I accept it. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Will you accept the Nobel Peace Prize?
Thank you. I accept it gladly. I've been trying to explain this to these guys. Like, it's the same thing, and it's like they act like they don't see it. And these are supposedly in the place. Both of these dudes are college professors. They act like they don't see it.
I know.
These are people that are teaching somebody's children, and they're acting like they can't see what's right in front of them. It's scary as hell.
Some of these are people who are teaching people's parents. Their children.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Don't leave everybody out.
Causell is a physicist.
I'm
listening.
I'll just keep going.
There's a couple of them I know that are teaching. And you have to understand because there's only.
I'm giving you guys your moment. You guys go. Keep going. I'm giving you guys your moment. Five good teams in the SEC.
There's two garbage teams, like you said, and then a bunch of average teams like every other conference.
Exactly. Same thing.
And we know that. But the top of the SEC is the best in America, right, Matt?
I'll say this. Alabama has been carrying this conference for a while, and I'm going to be completely serious. Without Alabama, these past couple of years, I could take other schools against the top schools from the SEC, and I'd be comfortable betting on it.
Okay, now let me ask you.
Well,
this.
With exception
this.
A couple of years of LSU.
All right, well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Who is more likely to jump up and carry a conference as compared to, let's say like Oregon State or Washington probably jumping up carrying the Pac-12? Are you about to tell me that Oregon State or Washington will win a national championship before somebody like LSU or Florida will? Is that what you're sitting here about to say to me?
I won't say that, but I'll say UCLA could.
That's
UCLA could.
That's my point, though. But I'm not even sure about UCLA because soon as USC get off that schnoz, and they this on and popping again. You know that.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying though. Each conference got their heavy hitter. Right now it's Alabama's turn. Alabama eating right now. LSU, what LSU's second championship? Was it 2009 or 2008?
Yep.
That was a good team. That was a good team. That LSU team that won that national championship when USC was undefeated, they would have got their asses whooped.
They might have.
And you know why? Because I stand by what I always say. When USC and Miami, when
oh,
they.
Oh, God.
Top,
BS
oh,
here.
Golly, man. When Miami.
Yeah,
USC,
okay, so you're right, Claude. You're right, Claude.
When they at
the
top.
USC would have beat that LSU team, but they. Exactly. So they would have lost that LSU team, but they just went to three straight national championships after that. But they would have lost that LSU team, though, right? An LSU team who didn't do anything else the rest of the couple of years. Except for, and SC went, what, 30-30-30-2 after that for the next 3 years?
Yeah, but y'all benefited with a weak Pac-10 conference. Y'all benefited from a weak Pac-10 conference.
Man,
the Pac-10 was down.
Here we go.
The Pac-10 was down during that era, except for USC.
Here we go.
USC was tight.
When USC was on their own, man.
I disagree with that, first of all, Tex. But that's not what I said. What I said was USC benefited. That era USC was in, they benefited from a weak Pac-10 conference. You can't deny
what
that. That was a weak Pac-10
conference. How was the conference weak?
Who challenged them? Nobody challenged them except for Cal and Aaron Rodgers. What'd you say?
But those national titles were out of conference games.
They were out of conference. I'm not saying they weren't the best team on one or two of those years. What I'm saying is they had a very easy road to get to the national championship. That's the point I'm saying.
How? Explain that.
You were playing a bunch of cupcakes in the Pac-10. The only threat you guys really had was maybe Cal with Aaron Rodgers. That was it. And they barely almost beat you. But y'all were beating teams crazy in the Pac-10. Y'all were beating Arizona. Ooh. Beating Oregon, Washington State, those teams were down during that era.
Oregon
was down during that era. Oregon didn't get good until Chip Kelly got there. Yeah, Oregon during that era, Oregon didn't get good until Chip Kelly got there.
Yeah, Chip Kelly was still.
Yeah, I'm talking about until Chip Kelly got there.
Oregon was good before Chip Kelly when Mike Bellotti was there.
They weren't a national championship contender. They weren't a consistent top 10 team. No, they were not.
Yes, they were. I can prove it. I can go and look at the records and prove it.
Maybe one year they were in the top 10, but you can't prove it. They were consistently 3-4 years in a row top 10.
Were.
You cannot. No, please.
I can look at the rankings and show you. What more do you want me to do?
Send it to me then.
Send it. Go to ESPN, right? Go to ESPN.
Oregon State wasn't all that bad either because Jacquez Rodgers played for Oregon at that time too.
No, Jacquez Rodgers played like 2-3 years ago. I remember watching Jacquez Rodgers. Jacquez Rodgers played with USC. Jacquez Rodgers was playing.
He's been in the league at least 4 years.
Jacquez Rodgers was playing when USC was down because they were playing. I remember they played Thursday night with what's his name for the Jets? Mark Sanchez was the quarterback for USC. That's when Jacquez Rodgers was playing. Because I remember when they beat USC down that Thursday night game.
You forget Matt Barkley played 4 years.
Right. Matt Barkley played
Eagles now. So that was more than 5 years ago, buddy. Do the math.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
Rodgers ain't been in the league that long. He ain't been in the league that long. He's probably
been Rodgers
probably
has been in the league 6 years. He sat for
5 years. No. Hold up, Matt. He hasn't been in the league that long because that year that they beat Sanchez, he was a freshman. That was his first year when they beat USC on that Thursday night game.
Still at least 5 years.
Yeah, it was four years from that.
He hasn't been in the league that long.
It had to have been. Because if he was playing against Sanchez,
Sanchez was a junior in his last year.
He ain't even 23 years old. I ain't been in the league 4 years. He ain't 23.
All right, well, you know, I don't even want to argue about that. The point I'm making is USC benefited from a weak Pac-10. That's just the bottom line I'm saying.
Okay,
and Alabama
yes,
did
like
not
said,
benefit.
Yet you,
Alabama
you
did not benefit.
That. Yet you can't prove that statement you just made, but you'll keep saying it. You can't prove
but,
it.
Oh, whatever. And
it.
I remember Shottown. Remember you used to call me? Remember we used to talk on the phone, Shottown? You used to be complaining to me. You were like, man, USC's playing an easy schedule. They weak. You remember you used to tell me that? You remember you used
yeah,
to tell
man,
me that?
And
yeah,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I did. I won't say too, but they were consistent with it, though, with that streak. That's all I was saying. I wish they would have had, you know, that time of play where they gave the time. I wanted them to see the play Florida that 1 year. I think when Florida won the first title. No, the
Florida did
one.
Not want to play them. I put the link up on the CMT Firestorm page. It talked about how USC was one of the only schools who would go and play anybody and how schools refused to play them. It's proven.
Yeah.
Go look on the website.
Went down there to Auburn. They went down
there
to Auburn.
Them.
I think USC
they mudded them. They went to Arkansas.
I'll give you that. Y'all went to Auburn and mudded them. Y'all did. Y'all
70 on that. 2 years in a row.
Through the Pac-10 might have not have been as strong at that time when USC had that run, but man, USC was a powerhouse though, Cosby. You got to give it to them.
First of all, I'm not saying that they weren't a powerhouse.
There's only three schools that have never played. FBS or whatever them schools that the SEC plays, USC, Notre Dame, and I think it was like UCLA, have never played those kind of. But yet they play cupcakes, right? But they've never played any of those Division III teams that y'all play. But yet they play cupcakes, right? those are the only three schools in all of football that have never played an FBS school ever. But yet they all play cupcakes, except for you guys. But you guys play three of those schools per year.
No, we play
three a year. For sure do.
Yeah, do I need to prove that to you, too, or am I lying now, too?
No. Yeah, I know.
I'm ready to move on, man. I don't want to argue.
Of course you are. You...
White towel.
It's called proof. You don't like it. Y'all just came off of whooping Georgia State 45-3, a school that USC never played. Okay, Georgia State, really?
We have a tough time in SEC, man.
And this is why he won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Exactly.
I was like, wow, that's Georgia State.
Hey, let's move on, though. I want to move into this. Tech's not a good subject up. I want to move into this Jadeveon Clowney situation. There's been a lot of talk about him. People saying that he kept himself out of the game, which has been proven to be false. I put a link up to the CMT Firestorm webpage that had the truth on it. Dude was actually really injured, but people will take a story and run with it. Is his draft stock up or down for you guys? And also, do you think the college players should be allowed to enter into the NFL after their second season? Tex, what do you think about that?
Well, first thing is his NFL scouts ain't worried about him not playing against Kentucky. The dude is a top three pick right now, top two pick. If he's injured, then why is he playing? Everybody saw him knock Buddy Hammond off of Michigan and. It's just fans, man. It's just people that are not watching the game like how they're supposed to watch the game. And, we don't like such and such. So this is how we feel, even if it's an inaccurate assessment. You know what I'm saying? There's no issues. If he comes back healthy, and he'll be playing. He's been playing injured all year. So, you armchair quarterbacks. He's this, that. Fine, Finnbaum. What's going on with Finnbaum? I mean, his.
It kind of starts in that first North Carolina game, too. I can kind of tell the people are going to be trying to tear him down this season. And like I said, he might have been hurt even back then. We don't know what these guys are playing with. He might have been hurt back then. Rib injuries are, for a football player, for a guy who runs, a rib injury sucks because every time you take a deep breath, it's going to hurt you.
You know, you can't run. You know, anybody that ever had separated ribs, split ribs, you know, it sucks. Bruised ribs, anything like anything with the ribs where you got to breathe and get your air. You know, you're not doing that there. You know.
Yeah.
That's painful. Yeah.
Let me put you on hold. I want to bring in. We got a couple other callers I want to bring in. Let me bring in this caller from the 407. What's going on? You're on CNC Firestorm.
What's going on?
What's going on, Steve? We got the game tomorrow.
who plays tomorrow?
Bears and the Giants.
Oh yeah, it's not.
Oh man,
we're
at college. right now we're talking about Jadeveon Clowney. Have you been following what's going on with his situation?
Yeah, I've been following it with that little injury. You know what I mean? Hey.
You think he's a slacker, or what do you think the case is?
Well, he made some comments like, you know, they need to get him more involved. I don't think he's too happy because he knows the defense is game planning to run the other way, and there's nothing they can do, and they're not running any stunts to get him more involved in the play. But, I mean, if the man is hurt, he's hurt. I mean, y'all can't get mad at the man because he said he hurt. He don't want to play. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I feel like, I don't know if he's that hurt, but I just think he don't want to ruin his chances of looking bad in front of his fans or whatever. I think he's pulling a little move there, but, you know, he's definitely, there's more to it than what people think, man. He got some animosity or something. Because rib injuries, it's hard to play through, but, I mean, I don't think he thought he was gonna live up to the heights that they giving him this year. So let him get his rest. You know what I mean? Take it easy. Then if he come out there and he 100% healthy and he still ain't balling, then you know what time it is. He's not as good as what people thought. You know, he had his little stardom, and defense's game plan for any other team's best player. So. I mean, if the man hurt, he hurt. Though. You can tell Steve Spurrier on how he be talking on TV. You know what I mean? Yeah, he hurt, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know, man. We can't really say if a player is hurt or not. I just think if he wanted to be out there, he'd be out there. That's what I think.
Well, do you think the guys like him, do you think that maybe they should be able to come out after their second year?
Probably not. I've never been a fan of that. Just because, a lot of players go to NFL don't even make it. So, I mean, I've never really been a fan of people coming out early unless your talent is just that good. And he hasn't proved nothing this season. But if he does tremendous numbers in the combine, we all know that he's still going to get on the team and ball out of control. So, I mean.
Well, I mean, yeah, but tremendous numbers in the combine. I think it's more. I mean, let's take a guy like Adrian Peterson, for example. After his freshman year, you know, you could tell he was NFL ready. I mean, you don't think a guy like that, especially, you know, like I said, with the way injuries, well, I don't know about Vic, but, you know.
Vic should have been, too.
I don't know. Shit, I think Vic could maybe use another year of college. I mean, he had to work on his passing game. But, you don't think players like that could, you know, like a guy like Adrian Peters who ended up getting injured, you don't think a guy like that should have maybe been able to come out, you know, and declare and just, you know, move on with his career? I mean, what, you know, it's not I don't think it's benefiting him to stay in college extra year, don't you think?
I mean, yeah, you're right about that. I mean, when you say it like that, you're right. I mean, a player like Adrian Peterson was NFL ready. He was ready. He was like a man among boys out there. You know what I mean? He break it, and he's showing his worth in the NFL now. So that he definitely could. That's definitely a player that's like meets the rule or exception. But some players, you know, you got all these scouts saying they ready, and then they get there and they ain't doing nothing. So, you know, it's give or take on that. That's how I feel like. But
yeah.
I just never been a fan of that because, you know, teams rely. I mean, you're going there for an education ultimately. Yes, you want to go to the NFL. Yes, you want to make all that money. But, you know, that just shows what kind of player you are sometimes if you're just kind of selfish. Clowney looks kind of selfish to me, but you know, it is what it is.
I think for a certain point though, I think you have to be kind of selfish. I mean, the NFL to me, just because of the average, you know, the average career length is only 3 years anyway. I think you have to kind of look out, especially like I say, maybe if they had some kind of way that you could petition, you know, put in a petition, okay, am I going to get drafted in the first round? Let me go ahead and jump after my second year, or you petition a panel to see if you can go or something like that, maybe. But you know, it's different for me than with the NBA and other sports, because you know, these NBA guys, you can go to other countries. You know, a lot of these guys who we don't see, and you know, who are college stars who don't make it in the NBA, they're going overseas and they're having, you know, 10- and 12-year careers over there. You know, one of my friends from school, he's been playing in Italy for, you know, the past 12 years, you know. So, you know, just because they're not here, you know, but, you know, they're not playing NFL football anywhere else but here, you know. And even, you know, in our semi-pro leagues here aren't anything compared to, you know, the leagues, you know, overseas. You really can't, you know, it's hard to make a living playing semi-pro ball here. I mean, what do you guys think about that, Clavel? What do you think about that? You think maybe they should be allowed? Or, yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to touch on two things on it. First, on the Clowney thing, the first time I heard about it, he said, "See, Slay, I don't know all the quotes he said, but he wouldn't mind if, like I said, Clowney doesn't ever, not sure if Clowney might ever play at Dallas, South Carolina again." That's the first time I heard about the story. Then I kind of heard that, yeah. But maybe, I think Clowney, like you said, everybody pretty much consensus knowing that he's probably going to be the number one pick. Maybe he's thinking about his future, too, knowing that, yeah, regardless what happens, this is going to be his last year at South Carolina. He's thinking about the NFL, his draft stock, and possibly, you know, being the number one pick in the draft. And I guess he don't want, I guess maybe his game, you know, slip, you know, affect his status. And also, too, getting a significant injury. Let's say if he blow out his knee or something like that, breaks his arm and not ready for the combine, all that type of stuff, you know, where he auditioned to, you know, be the number one pick in the draft. I think he may be thinking a lot, thinking about his future and thinking about the millions. Second point, yeah, I kind of agree, you know, with Steve. NFL is not the NBA. I mean, it's a physicality game, and I think, you know, it's different. You're playing against grown men out there, man, and the sport is physicality and it's brutal. I mean, hey, you can come in there thinking you're ready to come in and get hurt, and let's say you might not ever be the same player again. You know, your body and stuff going against grown men who played and, you know, trained and, you know, who got that game ready in the college level to prepare for the NFL, because we all know in some positions in the NFL, it takes a couple of years, especially a quarterback, you know, it takes you really 3 years to evaluate if he's going to be good, or lineman might take maybe 2 years. So I think, you know, we're all the way with Steve on that, but, you know, I think they need to keep it as is, you know, with the NFL, with players' eligibility of coming in.
Well, man, he should be holding back. Please. Man, whatever, man. I wouldn't even play this whole rest of the season. He might not play the rest of the season. In regards to this rule, I think they should just get rid of the rule in general. I think you should be able to leave high school and go straight to the NFL. That's just my personal opinion. Adrian Peterson, I'm not saying they were going to be ready for the NFL. Nobody's saying that they're going to be ready for the NFL. I just say you can't restrict somebody's choice from doing that. I think Adrian Peterson could have went straight to the NFL. I think Jameis Winston could go straight to the NFL,
well,
personally.
I think. Come on, dude. You think Jameis Winston could go straight to the NFL?
I think he would be better than Mike Glennon right now. Absolutely. I think he goes straight to the NFL, right? Yes. I think after this year he would be eligible straight to go to the NFL. I absolutely do. I think there's several players that could go straight to the NFL.
Well,
he's a redshirt freshman.
Well, I mean, not after next year. Yeah, he'll be able to go. He's a redshirt freshman. So.
Yeah, I think he would be able to be a starting. I think he would be he would struggle obviously his rookie year, but it would be no different than if he stayed an extra year. I think he would go through the same struggles.
Hold on. I mean, it's different though, because for quarterbacks, you got some of these guys who still don't know how to pass the ball as a quarterback yet. You got to learn how to pass. You got to learn checkdowns. You got to learn your intermediate passing game, your out routes. I mean, it's a lot for quarterbacks. Unless you're some type of Andrew Luck, you know, meets John Elway, you know, meets Randall Cunningham, freak of nature. I don't think you're. I don't think a quarterback. I don't know if a quarterback. It's kind of like a point guard. You know, jumping from the NBA to, you know, jump from high school to the NBA. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's not going to be the same unless you're a physical, you know, LeBron James kind of dude. You know what I mean? I mean, quarterback is there. I don't think Winston can do it. You know, guys like Peterson. You know, Calvin Johnson. Dudes like that who were beasts when they were freshmen, and it's like, okay, this dude. You know, he doesn't might not have that much more to learn in the NFL. You know, I think they can do it. But these other cats, I don't know about that.
Yeah. I see what he's saying, I see what he's saying on that, though. But, you know, hey, you know, he ain't ready to go yet, Clausell.
It ain't even really a matter if he's ready to go or not.
Hold on, Steve, I'm going to put you on hold. I want to bring in another call to talk about this, too. You're on with us, CFP Buster's Farm.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, we're going to have to slow rolls right quick. And I know y'all are talking about Jadeveon Clowney, but we're going to have to backtrack a little bit because there was something like real wild stuff going on right here. Okay? First off, I hear y'all was talking about U.S. Trojans and talking about George playing ourselves.
Your connection is kind of bad, James. You're going in and out.
Hello?
No, I don't think he's with us. I think his connection went out. Go ahead, Mike.
I thought Clausell was saying about Clowney. I get what you said, but we all know it's the pros and cons of everything. Let's say Clowney did do that and say just pretty much saying that he's not going to really play the season, then some people in the NFL think, like, man, this man is a quitter, that he pretty much threw the season out. That might not be good image for his character-wise, where, you know,
They're going to say that about him anyway. You know the draft process. They're going to say something negative about you just to say it, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, what's the point, man? So you might as well do it.
If he does good, then everybody knows that he pretty much, you know, gave up the season, you know, didn't play.
Yeah.
They're going to make that story the whole season. Going to hear about it all the way in the draft, so that's the only thing on that, though.
Okay, it looks like James is back with him. I'm going to try to connect him again. James, you back with
him? Let's try this again. Because what I was saying was not only did they go over to Auburn and destroy Auburn, they went over Arkansas and destroyed Arkansas. Okay. They were getting the best recruits year after year after year after year. Like, at the Carson Palmer, there was Matt Leinart, there was Booty, there was, you know, Mark Sanchez, and they had people getting transferred out of USC that were five-star recruits. So it wasn't just the Pac-10 that was getting demolished. Everybody was, with the exception of Texas.
Yeah.
So, as far as this whole thing about, like, Pac-10 being soft, that really does apply when USC was trouncing everybody left and right, regardless of
what. Well, yeah, like I said, I never heard of that besides from what Clausell said. And, you know, like I said, sometimes he tends to use logic when he makes stuff up. So,
I'm telling the flat-out truth, man. That was a whack conference, man.
I learned that about 10 years ago in Gibbs Lobby.
I learned your West Coast bias 10 years ago, too. But anyway. Your lack of logic, please.
You just forget
that. I'm ready, man.
But what do you think about this Clowney situation?
Yeah, USC's number one in the nation last year. I know. That's logical.
Did you see Clowney thing?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think he's going to end up playing because the NFL scouts may not be able to, you know, like him sitting out, you know, trying to sell the whole customer's protection game and he's interested in the game of football or, you know, working on the staff. You know what I mean? So if he ends up doing that, then the scouts are pretty scared to, you know, draft him the first couple of picks of the NFL draft.
So, James, so you don't think he's going to be the first pick in the draft? You think he might slip down?
I think he's the number one prospect in the NFL draft right now. However, if he keeps this going where he's, like, you know, sitting out, in and out, not being able to play and that type of stuff, that might hurt him.
Yeah. That's all he's telling.
Like, it, because you never know who's going to be the first pick of the NFL draft or in any draft. Like, see the NBA draft, you know, this past year. Nobody expected they got UNLV to be the number one pick. So you never know.
Yeah, exactly. And no one, too, in this past NFL draft, everybody kept thinking that guy from Texas Tech, I'm not Texas Tech, Texas A&M, Lockwood was going to be the number one pick, and then that being Fisher from Central Michigan being the number one pick.
Well, he still got picked early, though. He still.
Both of them, both of them hurt. You know, Jocko, he out for the year with a broken ankle, and then Fisher, you know, out, you know, with a concussion.
That's NFL stuff. Let's finish wrapping up our college area. We got some big Week 7 matchups going on. I want to talk about these real quick because we got to move to our NFL part. We got University of Florida playing LSU. We got Oregon, Washington, A&M, Ole Miss, and we got the Red River Shootout with Texas Longhorns versus the Oklahoma Sooners.
Oh my God, Texas! Oh my God!
Let's go. Let's go through our picks. Let's just get the picks for you. So you guys have picks for the winners. Texas.
Of course, OU Texas. I'm going. It's the only time of the year I go with OU. Is when they play in Texas. I just want them to just kill Texas, and I love it. So yeah, Boomer Sooners. LSU Florida, I have to go with LSU. I don't think Florida can do enough offensively in the swamp to beat LSU. What's the other matchup?
Oregon, Washington, and A&M, Ole Miss.
You know what? Yikes, man. I want to take Ole Miss so bad, man. Because, you know, I think them boys might rebound and catch A&M, man, if A&M ain't careful. Man. I'm going to go with Ole Miss. I'm going to go with Ole Miss this time over A&M. I'm going to go with them because I think, you know, it's a young squad that's, you know, they're not going to beat Alabama. But, you know, they're a physical squad. And, I have a feeling, and even we'll talk about that with the NFL, but I have a feeling that Ole Miss is going to, is probably going to beat A&M. I could be wrong, but I'm going to roll with Ole Miss. And I think I'm going to go with Oregon over Washington.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mike, who you got for these games?
Well,
what's that sound in the background?
It sounds like somebody had a TV on or something like that.
Well, for that game, Texas and Oklahoma.
Damn, hold on. That just got really loud. Hey, whoever's phone that is, please put your phone on mute.
Hey, hold on. That might be me. Hold on.
All right, go ahead, Mike.
Man, that's going to be... Hey, it's going to get worse in the state of Texas, man. They're going to be saying, boy, is Mac Brown going to get fired after that game? Or what? Could he get fired if he gets that back? Because it's going to get ugly. Oklahoma's going to beat the dog crap out of Texas, man. It's going to be ugly. Oklahoma on that one. LSU and Florida. I mean, I was kind of down with Florida a little bit last year, but they made it still competitive. Even though their starting quarterback Driscoll's out for the year and this and that, I think that's going to be a competitive game, and it wouldn't surprise me if Florida beats LSU. But they're going to be in LSU in Death Valley, so I'm going to give LSU. But, again, I wouldn't be surprised if Florida beats them, though. And the Texas A&M Ole Miss, I think that's going to be competitive, but I think Texas A&M, like I said, Kevin Sumlin, man, they're going to get them boys going. They're going to win, but it's going to be a close game possibly. Oregon and Washington game. This is interesting right here. Man, that's going to be a good game. Might be my upset pick, man. I'm going to have to see. Washington almost beat Stanford and see how good that was in the battle. Washington got a lot on guard to be a spoiler. You know what I'm saying? Oregon ranked number 2. So my upset pick, I think Washington's going to pull it out and beat Oregon. It might come down to a field goal, and they might push some boys in overtime, but they might get them and beat Oregon.
Okay.
All right.
Quazo?
Oklahoma, Texas, I kind of like, who cares? Both these schools have lost their swag. I mean, I'll just go about, I'll go with Oklahoma by default, I guess.
When did they have it? When did they have it?
Oklahoma had a swag, man. A few years ago, Oklahoma had their swag. You can't deny that, yo.
They
had their swag.
They did.
They had their swag. You can't deny that. But
what? Why they up there losing to Boise State? They had swag?
Well, they didn't want to be there, man. Don't be giving me that. I don't go by those games, man. I don't go by no Boise State, Oklahoma, or no Alabama, Utah crap. I don't go by those games, man. They didn't even want to be there. I don't go by that.
They play D.T. Moore State in whatever BCS bowl game and lose.
Yeah. They lost their swag, man. They lost their swag. Let me get to Florida LSU. I'm going to give the edge to LSU, but I would not be surprised if Florida win this game because they got a top five defense. So, I mean, it ain't going to be like LSU going to crush them. So it's going to be going down to the wire. So I'll give the edge to LSU. Oregon, Washington, I give the edge to Oregon, but I want to see if Oregon's going to blow them out or they're going to barely beat them. That kind of says how what kind of team Oregon is. And those are my three picks right there.
University of Florida is 93rd in the country in scoring, too, by the way. Just want to let everybody know that.
But what number are they in defense, though? What about total defense, though?
Number four. But they're 93rd in the country in scoring.
And, Mike, that's what I was saying. I don't know if that offense is good enough to go into Baton Rouge and put up enough points to win.
Yeah, and LSU's putting
But is LSU going to put any points on the board? That's the question.
LSU's
they
nice
have
the
a
country.
Better shot
LSU's
to do
nice
that.
In the country in scoring.
Exactly. They have a better shot to do that at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a better shot to do it, but are they going to do it?
They're kind of balling, man. Odell Beckham, man, I'm looking at LSU's stats right now. They got a good offense, man. Even their running backs. I expect their running backs to play like this. They got one of these dudes averaging 7 yards a carry, 9 touchdowns already. They got a pretty good squad, man.
They're balling.
Yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. finally playing. He got 6 TDs catching. I mean, they're looking good. Jarvis Landry, they're looking good. I wasn't just trying to be mean to Tony, but I think LSU's gonna whoop him. James, did we already go through your picks, James?
No.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and give me your picks for these games.
All right, real quick. We got LSU versus Florida. That's Death Valley. So I'm picking LSU for that one. Probably be like a close game to start out, but I think LSU's going to pull away late. That Oregon-Washington game, I think that's going to be a matchup problem for Washington. So I think Oregon's going to win by at least a touchdown. Oklahoma, Texas, I kind of feel like Oklahoma's going to destroy them for some reason. I really feel like Oklahoma's going to destroy them, so that's not going to be a good game to watch at all. And Texas A&M, Ole Miss, I don't know. You said Ole Miss might beat them. Well, if they do, it's because Texas A&M don't seem like they have much of a defense this year. So Ole Miss might be able to take that.
Okay. Let me put you on hold, James. I want to bring back in Tony Wadley. Tony, right now I want to get your picks for those games, and then we're going to move on to our next section. So just give me your picks real quick.
All right, I give you Texas A&M. I give you Oregon. I give you Oklahoma. And I give you the Florida Gators.
Why do it? All right.
Yeah, that's a guy that said that too.
I respect the man's choices. I want to move on. Let's move. I want to hit this buy and sell real quick. I just want to do these real quick. Buy and sell. We got 5 schools. I want to throw in Baylor too. I want to put Baylor on this list too. They're averaging 70 points a game right now, so I want to see who thinks they're real or not. So Stanford, OU, Ohio State, Miami, Missouri, and Baylor. Buy and sell. Me for Stanford, I'll buy.
I'll sell all of them.
OU, I will. I'm gonna sell OU. I'm kind of tired of OU. Ohio State, I'm gonna sell them. Miami, I'm gonna buy them. Missouri, I'm gonna sell them. And Baylor, I will buy them. Tex.
Miami. Let's hold for a little bit. Let's hold for a little bit on Miami. That's my team.
No, buy or sell.
Yeah. Buy or sell is a hold. So it's a hold. So you got a hold. You don't have to buy or sell. I can't sell. Can't sell what I don't know about it. But I'm a hold. I'm a hold on Miami. OU. I'm selling them. But you know, I always sell OU. You know. It's peak season when it's Texas OU time, and then the stock just go down. So we're going to sell right now while it's high. who else was it? Ohio State, sale.
Ohio State, Stanford, Missouri, and Baylor.
Yeah, I'm going to buy Stanford, but I'm selling on Ohio State. I'm selling everything Big Ten, man. Fire sale on them. And Missouri, I might buy best defensive line in America, maybe. You know, trench play matters. So probably buying on Missouri a little bit.
Okay. Baylor?
Are you talking about saying me? Okay, I guess it's me. Ohio State. You know, I mean, they haven't lost since 2011. I still got to keep buying and buying with them, baby. What was the other teams you were saying on Cali Mike? Oh, yeah, Miami. I mean, Miami.
Miami.
Of course, that's for you. Go ahead.
OU.
Miami, I'm buying their stock.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, I kind of get what you're saying. I think they kind of did lose their sway. They're not the Oklahoma that was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. But, I mean, I would say, hey, Oklahoma's Oklahoma. So I kind of say I'm selling.
Stanford.
What was that? Stanford, buying. Buying, 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 all the way to the top. As long as Shaw is their head coach there, I mean, Stanford's going, man. Hey,
Missouri.
I still hold off on them to say sell, but it's showing dramatic improvement from last year, you know, in the SEC, which they started off okay this year, which last year they were getting, you know, not too good. So making their second year adjustment, man, I mean, they're hanging in there. So they're going to rise
Baylor.
Up, but right now I would say selling. And Baylor, you see Baylor?
Mm.
You see Baylor scored 73 points last week at 864 yards? I know in that conference it's not, they don't have much defenses, but man, that's, you know, college football, NCAA Division I, AA football right there. I mean, 73 points to 73 points, and 864 yards is 864 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, they're out of control right now. Paul Hill.
I got to know which teams you're talking about again. I'm sorry. I'll look at the list.
All right, Stanford.
I mean, I'll buy them. I mean, they have a good defense. I'm buying
Oklahoma.
Stanford. I'm not buying Oklahoma. I'm not buying. I'm buying Ohio State a little bit. Yeah, I'm buying a little bit. I'm not buying Miami. They're a year or two away. And Missouri. I mean, what do you mean buy them? Are they going to be a good team this year? Yeah, I'll buy that. You know. I mean, it depends on what standard you're looking at. I mean, I think the team that might be the best team in the country by the end of the year is Florida State. That's my personal opinion. I mean, we time will tell. We'll see.
Yeah. What about Baylor?
I'm by them to win the Big 12. They can win the Big 12.
Okay. Tony?
You got a dollar? Because I'm selling them all. I'll put them in a package.
You're not buying any of those schools.
Not one of them. Until one of them shows up in the national championship, Give me a dollar. You can have them all. Bargain basement.
OU and Ohio State have multiple, and Miami have multiple national championships.
I'm talking about this year. I don't care about the past. That's just like I don't care about stats. I'm telling.
Dang it. Cody. All right. I'm going to get into that. Let's move on. Let's move on to our NFL. I do want to say keep an eye out for Lake Seastrom from Baylor. I keep saying this dude's name. He keeps impressing me every week I see him. I think he could be the number one back take next year in the NFL draft. He's a small, short guy, but he's thick. And he's got speed, and he break a lot. He can do it all, man. Let's move on to our NFL portion.
Hold on, you want to put – hey, we got one more caller, man, 407-920. I think you want to hear this one.
Okay. Let me put you on hold, Tony, and I'm going to think this is Steve again.
No.
Steve, what's going on?
No, damn, man. It's the wrong
not
one,
me.
Man.
Okay, Clausville, not me. All right.
You can say what you got to say.
Well, I'm only buying one team, and that's Miami. And I don't like your Florida State bias, Clausville.
Oh, please, man. I'm going by objectively, man. This is objective, son. This is objective, man.
I swear you're more of a Florida State fan than an Alabama fan.
That's not true, man. That is not true. I'm looking at the film, man. I'm looking at the screen, man. When I look at who has the most complete team in the country, complete at all levels of the game, man, at Florida State, they are good at all levels of the game. Like, people ain't noticing that, man. People ain't noticing that.
No, they're good. They're good. I think I like that wide receiver, Kelvin Benjamin. I think he's gonna be playing on Sunday, man. That dude, he's big and fast. He's from Belgrade too.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't put out football players out there.
So that's why I say, man. I think by the end of the season, I think they may be the best team in the country. I really think that. And I think they're gonna go to Clemson and beat them.
Hey, Clausville.
Yes.
I just want you to understand one thing. We got the guy calling the plays that designed Florida State's whole offense.
Okay.
I just want you to understand that. So when they come out there and they do all them little funny little signals, James Coley's going to be like, I know this, I know that. I know his tendencies, I know his tendencies, I know this. So, and James Coley ain't even opened up the playbook yet. So you'll see what's going to happen when they play Florida State. Miami's got way more potential than what you think. Y'all ain't
Hey, we gonna see.
When they play
this weekend? When do they play?
They don't play till November 2nd, and I will.
November 2nd, okay. Oh yeah, that's right, November 2nd, because I got a watch party for that game. But
we're gonna see.
All right,
Steve. Let me put you on hold. I want to bring. Oh, okay, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
It's DT. DT.
Oh, DT. I'm sorry. Hey, DT. Jeff.
No. James on the phone. DT's on hold. Yeah.
Oh. Hey, Jay, Jeff Fish, he ain't the coach, one of the coaches at Miami no more, right?
Who?
Jeff Fish.
Nah, he gone.
Yeah. Oh, he gone?
We got James Coley, the guy that they would not promote at FSU, because Jimbo Fisher wants to take credit for everything. So we took him, and he knows the whole playbook. He designed the playbook.
Okay. All right, Steve, let me put you on hold. Let me bring in this other caller from the 407. I believe this is a world-famous high school football coach and recording artist, Dennis Thomas. Dennis, what's going on?
Yeah, nothing much. I hear what you guys are talking about. Miami, come on, man. I understand they won a few games, but really, come on. I just don't see it. If I want to be real, I think the only team I'm actually buying for national championship is Alabama. I think they're cheating. I'm just saying, I just feel like when you end up recruiting the top five running back in the country just every year, it's like that's not real cover, but what the hell. I think Clausell, he's at point. I think the downfall they got is a black quarterback. So at Florida State, we got that guy. And the dude's pretty good. Now, I would say that early in the season, or earlier, one, I was like, oh, I don't know if Florida State's defense is that good. But after the Maryland game, it was like Maryland was undefeated. I was like, oh, snap. They'll have to play. Maybe the defense is all right.
No, and the thing is, DT, like, what I've noticed is, like, I don't know, like there's times when you'd be like, when they play Boston College, you're like, man, this defense can't stop anybody. But then there's, like, they show little flashes where they're like, man, this defense is pretty good. You'll be like, man, this thing is pretty good. So that's why I say, like, you give them some time to gel. You give them longer in the season. That's why I say by the end of the season, I think when you look at defense on all levels, when you look at offense on all levels, they have the best all-around team in the country when they all are on their A game. Like Alabama, they got weaknesses in the secondary. They kind of got weaknesses right now. But Florida State, it looks like they're looking pretty good right now.
I think, you get it, the new defensive coordinator just has to gel with the players and all that good stuff. I do think the roughest part of it will be that we got a fresh quarterback. And you got to make some at some point, I mean, even Tebow, he's a sophomore, whatever, at all, the game where they want to make a point for the words he said after he lost. I mean, he's got to make some point. Kelvin Benjamin is like, he was supposed to last year, and he wouldn't jump the ball. He's like 6'8", but he was jumping for the damn ball. He's actually jumping for the ball. So
exactly.
That's what you should have did last year. It looked good, but dang, man. It's tough to say they were going to win. I mean, this would be the year which would be interesting to me. I felt like there were some other years where Wiley should have been a little better. But in my heart of hearts, he had a freshman quarterback like that. Mess one up. We just have too many teams playing Miami, playing the Gators.
You may be right. You may be right. Like, the freshman quarterback might make a mistake. But I'm just saying, the way he's playing right now, I mean, you have to put him, like, in the top three of the quarterbacks in the country right now. You have to put him in the top three.
Are you kidding me?
Have you been seeing this dude play? Are you kidding me? Whatever.
Is he the main difference from last year's team? Because last year it seems like the defense was better. Is he that much better than EJ Manuel that you think, or is the team actually just
a different game? Absolutely, he's that much better.
I think that this kid that they got, him and Jimbo just work together, man. Like, I don't think that Jimbo worked that well with EJ. I don't think he worked that well with Ponder. Like, him and this kid, man, it's the real thing. Like, they work.
Hold on. Callie, Mike, you trying to tell me you don't see a big difference between the way he's playing between him and EJ?
I don't think
that he's a top five. I don't think he's a top three quarterback in college football right now.
I do.
Is he better than Johnny Manziel?
That's why I say top three. I can't put him over him.
Is he better than Marcus Mariota?
That's why I said top three.
So he's right there.
He's right there with Tosh Boyd. Yes, he's right there with Tosh Boyd.
He's better than Teddy Bridgewater.
Come on, man. I'm gonna let DT answer that question. He's more accurate than Teddy Bridgewater. Let's just put it that way.
He is more accurate than Teddy Bridgewater. Like, I agree with you, Mike, in some cases, because, I mean, he's just so young and all that. It's just early. But I'm gonna be honest with you. In these first couple of games, man, he looks as good as those dudes. I mean,
I'm trying to tell you, man. You need to be. Have you been, man? This dude's been killing, man. People haven't been taking notice or something.
The dude is good. I mean, he's good, but I'm just not trying to say is he a top three quarterback in college football. I put him in the top ten. But I'm not trying to say that.
I mean, what I'm saying is, when you have this height. Hold on. What I'm saying is, if you look at his third down completion percentage, you look at his accuracy. I mean, and then he has a deep ball. He can do it all, man. This dude can do it all. You know what I mean? And that's what separates him, I think, from somebody like a Boyd or a Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not saying he's more accurate than Teddy Bridgewater. Let's just put it that way. I'm not saying he's better than him. I'm not going to say that, but he's right up there with him right now as a freshman. I just noticed
something. The reason you like this guy so much isn't because he's from Alabama, is it?
No, that's not. That has nothing to do with that, man. It has nothing to do with that. I'm being objective. I'm going to let D2 talk for me, man.
Come and see me, I'm be honest, and I'm trying not to be biased here, but the dude does have some skill set. Better than Teddy Bridgewater. I watched Teddy Bridgewater in high school and college. He has some things that Bridgewater don't have. Bridgewater is a heavy, tough guy. He's got a big arm. But this dude is a little different. And one thing I noticed is he must have gained 50 pounds his damn freshman year. He's a regular freshman now. He must have gained 50 pounds. It looked like he was on six last year. All of a sudden, he done blew up. Big old machine.
And the difference between him and A.J. McCarron, because A.J. McCarron is pretty accurate too, third and seven, third and eight, this guy's going to deliver. He's going to deliver. AJ may not deliver. You need a third and two or third and three for AJ. A third and seven, third and eight, this guy will deliver almost every single time.
Well, what's happened to all the AJ McCarron talk, Claudio? After all the – he had a lot of preseason hype. Now we're barely even hearing about this.
I've never been big on him anyway.
We're barely hearing about a lot of these Alabama guys, him, TJ, Yeldon. What's going on? Is their defense carrying the team? What's going on with Bama right now?
Bama's doing what Bama does. We're like the Chicago Bulls. Remember when the Chicago Bulls had Michael Jordan?
But, I mean,
nobody
just,
was talking about
not,
them because
not,
they knew
not,
they were going to be
not,
there at the
we're
end.
Not, we're not
no
hearing
point.
About none of these guys, though. We're not hearing about T.J. Yeldon. We're not hearing about McCarron. I know Amari Cooper's hurt, but, I mean,
because
just, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Because
we're
the Chicago
we're
Bulls.
We're like
the Bulls in the 90s, man. I mean, people know we're going to be there.
So you're talking about the other people.
T.J. Murray's
Jordan of Alabama right now.
All the folks you hear about is Nick Saban.
No, we're the Jordan of we're the Chicago Bulls of the college, of the 90s and
that's
college
what I'm saying.
Right
the
now.
Bulls had Jordan, so Alabama don't have no Jordan right now. Not like they did when Trent Richardson.
No,
was
we
there.
Represent the we or oh, whatever, whatever the case is.
Alabama got like five Jordans every year. It's not fair, dude. Like some guys.
Hold on. Hey, DC.
They're selling crack right now for Alabama. They need to get locked up. There's no way. There's no way they get all these damn guys and keep winning.
Hey, DC, but is it blasphemous? Because these guys say I'm blasphemous for saying this dude's a top three quarterback. You don't think it's blasphemous to say that's a top three quarterback, or that's a far stretch of the imagination to say this guy's a top three quarterback.
Right now, in these first few games that they have played, he's playing like a top three quarterback. So I think Kyle's nickname is it. But, again, there's top Tennessee, man, he's a redshirt freshman doing all right now. You got to see the kid and see him against Clemson. That's what the big game coming up. So if he performs like he has in a game like that, then he'll start turning his heads. I mean, the kid, he's pretty damn amazing. And like, man, he made tricky. You saw what was happening. He's like, this dude right here, get out of here.
I don't know. I got to see more about him. I'll say this: he does have three wide receivers. Look like they're going to be playing on Sunday. I'll say that. That helps, man.
This dude's the real deal, dog. That's why I say he should be. I would pick it. I would. I know this is blasphemous text. If it had to be Teddy Bridgewater and him coming out in the draft, I'd take him over Teddy Bridgewater. I would. I know that's funny. I know that's funny. I would take him over Teddy Bridgewater because he can make a play, man. This dude can make a play, yo. But anyway,
right, let's move on. Let's move on to
We'll talk about that in about 4 or 5, 6 years when we hear about who's better. We hear that talk 4 or 5, 6 years down the road.
Let's move on.
I said TJ
Yeldon.
Look at me, I was crazy.
Let's move on to our NFL portion right now. We had a lot of big games from last week. Denver at Dallas, Seattle, Indiana, New Orleans, Chicago, and the Jets defeating Atlanta. Geno Smith kind of balled out, and Atlanta's looking bad. They're looking bad. Their top wide receiver is injured, and Julio Jones is also injured, too.
He's done for the year.
Yeah. Julio Jones is injured besides it, and also their top wide receiver, Roddy White, injured too.
Oh, please. You said top wide receiver. That's insane. But anyway, keep going. That was a backhanded shot.
But it is what it is, man. You missed the first time, so I had to bring it again. But,
no, please. Julio's a top five receiver. Ain't no disputing that.
What did you guys take away from this week in NFL?
Which game are we just talking about? Different games or
any game? You know, whatever you want to pick in general, because we kind of ran over our time, so I just want to go over it all.
Oh well. I mean, first, how about Geno Smith, man? How about the Jets? I think I told y'all on this show they was going to be better than what people was going to be letting on. They're going to be tough. You know, the kind of game that they want to play is this game where they want to win games 6-19 and 22-23-12 or 13 or something like that. But this quarterback, man, he's growing, man. He was brilliant the other night. He read the defense. He made the plays. He just went right down the field on that. Like he's been playing football in the NFL for years. The rookie class is, I mean, they just showing up big, man. They are showing up. Sheldon Richardson, Laku Lele, undrafted rookies, Tyrann Mathieu, Kiko Alonso, my defensive player of the year for a rookie. These guys are coming through big time for their ball clubs. Ridiculous.
What do you think with these guys? What's going on with this rookie class? Why do you think they're so good? You think the talent level is just, is just that overwhelming from this class?
Well, it's rising. It filters out. Guys are ready to play the game more than they were back then. Guys are more ready to play coming out of college now than they've ever been. And you can just tell that by the quarterbacks that come out, whether it's RG3 or Russell Wilson or Geno Smith. Even Matt Ryan comes out and he's solid. He's leading his team to a division title and the playoffs in his rookie year. So these guys are just coming out ready. College is getting them ready. They're playing the pro game in college. I couldn't put my finger on it, but it's just an influx of talent. You have 70 undrafted rookie free agents that made rosters, and a lot of them are making contributions to their ball clubs. They're just ready to play. That's all it is. They're ready.
I look at it, and I mentioned this a couple of shows ago. I think that the talent from a lot of other sports and guys that were usually playing other sports, I think it's starting to filter into the NFL now. You know, you're starting to get guys that will be basketball players, that are being tight ends and wide receivers now. And, especially if you look at African-Americans especially, we're not playing as much baseball as we were playing before.
And, you know, like I said, I think a lot of those guys will be playing those other sports. Maybe, like I said, I don't know if the NFL is easier. NFL is easier to get by on talent, I believe, in football in general, as opposed to, like, baseball and basketball. And I think that we're starting to see a lot of those guys come into football, and I think it's creating, like, a, you know, like pretty much like a golden age of football, talent-wise, right now. You know, I think we're seeing guys that are as talented now as they've ever been and probably and might, you know, might well ever be, you know, athletic, you know, athletically wise.
Yeah, that's true, because look at the guy from Denver, that guy Tom, like, John Elway, I mean, not John Elway, Peyton Manning was raving about the guy before, he, you know, he broke the scene, like, so you got to check out this guy Thomas. And you saw, I saw what he did in Dallas. I mean, he was the guy who played basketball at Portland State for, like, I think, a couple years and went and transferred and played football.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah,
you look at a guy
like that or a guy like Graham in New Orleans. I mean, he's quietly having one of the best seasons of all time right now. And, you know, guys like that, those are, you know, former basketball players. And, you know, they're balling up right now.
Like you guys said, that's a good point. I guess, like you said, with NFL, I agree, it's more easier to make it by with the time than look at basketball, for instance, and football, I mean, baseball. Because, you know, NFL got the rounds, and like I said, you can go on as a trial and have a better chance. Because, I mean, you know, the vigors of the game, you know, someone's going to get hurt.
Oh, what did I take out of this past first week? Is that the question?
Yeah.
One, Philip Rivers. It's good to see him back to being Philip Rivers. What else? I've been so Cam Newton is on the hot seat. He's about to get benched at some point. They're gonna Carolina's gonna move in a new direction. I think.
I don't see that.
Well, I do. And what else? Romo, you know, Romo's a pretty good quarterback. I mean, even though they lost the game, he's a pretty good quarterback. Well, we always knew that, but, you know, he's kind of a big-time quarterback, even though they lost the game. Peyton Manning, he's Peyton Manning. Detroit's an underrated team. They may contend. They're going to contend in the Central, or the North, I should say. What else? Julio, sad to see him go down, top five receiver, but, you know, it is what it is. Falcons ain't going to even make the playoffs anyway. New Orleans, they playing really well, playoff bound. That's all I got to say. I don't really have any much else to say.
And one more thing, the Colts are showing up, man.
Yes.
They showing up.
I was going to say, that trade getting Richardson, I already said right there, then I said, man, that's going to get them even in more than, you know, they beat. When I beat San Francisco the same time, around the time when we made that trade, I'm like, yeah, they're going to make the playoffs. Yeah, you said, yeah. I kind of had to disagree with you, Clausell, about Detroit. You saw how Green Bay beat Detroit. Detroit hadn't won in Lambeau since 1991. You saw how Green Bay beat Detroit like that, and you saw they're about to contend in the Central. I mean, in the North, they need to find a way to try to get Green Bay.
I saw they whooped up on the Bears, though.
Yeah, they did, but we still, I mean, we got y'all tomorrow. That could be, again, that could be kind of scary because we both need to win and get back on track, and I know y'all need it too.
Mike, why the
yeah.
Bears can't be good teams?
That's a question of Reno that I still can't know it, but even how we played last week, we still had a chance. I say in the beginning of that
game wasn't as close as it ended. It wasn't as close as it ended.
I think the beginning of the game, though, the Bears didn't know, like, the offense, Ryan pretty much out-coached us because we didn't know what was going on. The offense didn't know what was going
on.
So the
Saints not better. So the Saints is not a better team. And it seems like –
I had the Saints winning that division, but I think the Saints was a good team.
Hey. Just don't blow it up our rear ends. Just say the Saints are a better team.
They're a better team right now.
And the game wasn't as close as the score indicated. Saints kind of
We're asking about the penalty.
I wanna know this. I want to switch the subject real quick in the middle.
He had dropped the same, where we might could have scored a touchdown. And he saw we were going to go wide, where we were being cute, you know, landing in there, and said we kicked the field goal. That was a play I heard.
Yeah.
Hold on, I want to switch the topic real quick, and I want to get on texting. I wonder, what is this whole resentment towards Geno Smith? I don't know if y'all sense that through the media. There's like this resentment towards him. The guy had a good game, and it's like people try to minimize it. I don't know if y'all are noticing that or not.
Really? Somebody tried to minimize this game versus Atlanta?
Yeah, they try to minimize it. Like, don't slow down. That's a report on Bleacher Report that came out.
I missed that. What's that all about?
Yeah, I'll put it on the CFP Firestone website.
I thought in general they might have hung up a little bit too much. I mean, they put on the New York Times the next day, he was on the front page saying the star is born. Just like how
I know, right? And then there's some columnists were like, slow your roll or something like that.
I think we got to take it with a grain of salt. Dude, that's a good game. Let's use it for something to grow on. But you know, I don't want to blow the kid's head up too much, and you know, and make him he's about to be, you know, make him think he's gonna be the next coming of I forget who that quarterback is. Willie Joe Namath. But you know,
Joe Namath was overrated anyway. Keep going.
You're right. Most Alabama quarterbacks are. But
Ken Stabler, he won a world championship for Oakland. I know he's overrated, right? But anyway, let me put Watley here on the line. I know he's been waiting for a while. Sorry about that.
What's up,
Watley?
Geno Smith. Let's see. I really think that people don't like Geno Smith because they had such high hopes for him coming out of college, and then he fell down so bad in the end of that college year. And because he fell down so bad, they just thought he was going to be a bust and expected him to be a bust. Now he's getting in the NFL and actually performing, and nobody wants to go back on their word for when he was in college calling him a bust.
That's true. And agent, that's the same exact thing. A friend, an associate of mine, as an NFL agent, he said that same thing. That's the deal with a lot of guys. You know, folks don't want to admit that they're wrong about Terrell Pryor too. And he's another guy that just keeps on making noticeable strides every single week.
I really noticed that too, because I just read an article saying how the Raiders is going to draft Teddy Bridgewater, and I'm like, are we really going to get Bridgewater if Terrell Pryor keeps playing like this? I mean,
no.
it's like, come on now. I mean, you know, I didn't think about it from that point though. Like Tony and Tex said, some of these guys, they get these foregone conclusions and they just want to stick with them. Me, I was never that big on Geno Smith, but my reason was just because they were trying to draw the comparison between him and RG3, and I knew that, you know, I knew that was mostly racial, you know, because like I said, dude wasn't RG3. There were two different quarterbacks who played two different ways. You know, Geno Smith was his own quarterback. He was never RG3 to me, and he's still not RG3. You know, that was my thing. But like I said, other than that, I think I didn't look at it like how you guys put it, but I definitely see that. Not only with Geno Smith, but with a lot of players, you know, that come through.
And one more thing about Geno Smith, you notice that when he's doing what he do, his face don't never change. It always stays the same. Whether it's good or bad, Buddy plays like he has a short memory, and that's a weapon. If you're a quarterback in the NFL, he throws a touchdown, he's forgotten about it. He threw an interception. His look is just the same look all the time. Like, you know, kind of like dudes just locked in, you know.
I was going to say, you see how they were kind of trying to bite-ball him too a little bit, I guess, during the time of the driver. They're saying a question about his, they don't know if he's at leadership, when they question about his work ethic and stuff. They were saying all this type of stuff about him too.
Yeah, that's the usual. That's what I call the usual roll call for for minority quarterbacks. You know, it usually comes in leadership, attitude, and work ethic. Those are three things that they'll say about every black quarterback that comes into the NFL. And it'll always come right before the draft. Leadership,
discipline,
and work ethic.
Yep. I was going to say, too, I think I told you that a while ago, Mike. I was saying about the Raiders, about far, like, y'all got something, something to build around with him, and you see how he's getting it going. So, I mean, like you said, I think you and Clausel had a discussion about it. He was in the same category with Cam Newton. Remember that next year could have been bottom for the Heisman, but then,
that's what I was trying to explain. Yeah. I mean, like I said, he's somebody, I don't know, I think maybe, you know, from what that thing that happened with the tattoos and the sweatshirts, which just got overblown, I think he came off, you know, people want to write guys off as a killer. Especially, you know, like I said, especially, it's unfortunate, but a lot of these young black guys, they get in trouble, and people write them off as villains. You know, they tried to do with Cam Newton with that laptop situation. You know, same thing that, you know, they tried to deal with, this is a guy who couldn't even play his first five games in the NFL because of something he did in college. So you mean to tell me people didn't already have perceptions about him? You know, I mean, like I say, he did something illegal. He traded some sweatshirts and then some jerseys that were his for tattoos, and now all of a sudden he's a villain and can't play college football anymore. And this was, like I said, this is a guy who was my home quarterback out of high school, and he was highly rated going into his senior year. He, you know, did make it, and like I say, Raiders picked him up, and, you know, he's still a growing guy. He has all the tools there. You know, every tool every other quarterback has, I'll say that.
Yeah, he has all the tools. I'm not sold on him because when they played the Colts, it's like when you need him to make a play to win the game when they're down 2 minutes left, I just don't see him leading you back to win the game. That's the thing. He looked good during the game.
He just did that this past game.
Yeah, but can he do that consistently? I don't know. I know he did that.
And that last game, he was on his fifth NFL start. So, I mean, how are you going to judge that?
That's what I'm saying. You've got to look at it like this, Clausel. He's essentially a rookie. Dude's only 23 years old. He's essentially a rookie, man. You know?
Right.
Even though he's been in the league for 2 years.
Last game was his fifth ever NFL start. So, I mean.
No, I want the guy to do well. Hold up. I just want to make sure. I want the guy to do well. I'm just not 100% sold on him yet to be a franchise quarterback. That's all I'm just saying.
I think he has the tools to be it.
Nobody said he didn't have the tools. Like, he definitely has the tools to be it. I'm not disputing that. You know, I know that he got the tools to do it.
I've been watching Terrell Pryor. We talking about him just every week. He's improving. I mean, you have to see. I've seen him play every single snap. The guy is improving. I mean, and it's so evident. And you know, each week the Raiders are taking the reins off, man. It's like every week it's
really
playing
too.
And I mean, it's just you have to see it if you see him power play, man. It's just it's just right before your eyes.
Yep. And also too, the Raiders just released Matt Flynn too, so that's how they feel about the guy. They just released him.
Oh yeah,
and also too.
Anyway. Also,
too, you can say in probably his last college game, he did beat Arkansas in one of the bowl games. Was it a Sugar Bowl? So, hey, the man can win the big game.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he is what he is. What do you guys think about the other big news? The often talked about Josh Freeman landing in Minnesota.
I think that was a good move for him to get into Minnesota because, you know, Minnesota kind of have a little quarterback crisis, you know, Pounder being hurt, not sure, and Castle came in. So they kind of, you know, might need a quarterback, and he's young. So might be a good start, you know, for him to be there than being in Tampa, which is going to be their biggest regret letting the man go.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a might be. I think that he should, unless he's really as bad as people think he is, I think he should be starting over those two even if they were completely healthy. You know, unless he really is that bad, and like I said, I don't know. I haven't got to watch a lot of full books yet. Unless he's really that bad, I mean, he should be starting in Minnesota, no problem.
Yeah, he should be starting right now, but he has to learn the playbook. I think he's going to resurrect the franchise. I think he will resurrect
the
franchise.
I'm
really
not
do. I,
I'm not going to say that. I do.
Do I get to give my
Yeah, you get your pick. Yeah.
Okay, I really do think that Josh Freeman and Adrian Peterson will make a good team. I really do.
Yeah.
Okay, are you guys basing this off of did you really like Freeman's game or that you're mad off of what he went through in Tampa?
A combination of both. I like Freeman's game.
Okay.
I like his game. Look at 2 years ago he was 27 touchdowns and 6 picks. I mean 6 interceptions. So, I mean, you can't – I mean, he's shown that he can play on a high level in this league. I mean,
well,
put Adrian Peterson.
That's the Clausell. Most of them touchdowns were thrown in, like, 2 games. And I ain't trying to be – I'm not trying
you're
to –
You're talking about 2 years – 3 years ago.
3 years ago when he had 25 and 6.
Yeah.
Man, you take away them 2 big games he had, then it's more like 17 or something. But wait a second. I don't want to come off like I'm trying to –
What about last year? Yeah, he threw 27. He threw 27 last year.
Yeah, he had 16 picks. But that he wasn't as good as what you've seen by his statistics. The same thing for Andy Dalton. You got both of them making his too many mistakes. You know?
Yeah,
he's inconsistent. I'll give you that.
And
I think Freeman is a talented quarterback. I think the guy has some potential, but his short accuracy is his mid-range intermediate accuracy is just—it's bad.
Yeah, that's true. But I think when you get Adrian Peterson there, that's going to help out a lot with that. But Josh Freeman has that clutch. What you saying, Wally?
My opinion is this, and this is an analytical thought. Freeman is the way he is because he is still very immature as a professional football player. And he was not and still is not ready for the pressure of it's on your back to get this done right now. And the reason why I say that
you say immature
in that sense?
In
Minnesota, let me finish. The reason why he would do better in Minnesota is because in Minnesota they already have that superstar. He can hand that ball off to Adrian Peterson. Everybody is looking for Adrian Peterson, and that takes the pressure off of, we need you to win this game for us. And with that, he will learn the game, he will grow in the game, and he will be the quarterback that I think he can be.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's a good point.
I hope that the Bucs win about a few games so they don't get like because I've said this last week, I hope they win a few games, so I don't want Teddy Bridgewater to go there. I really don't. Or Johnny Manziel, I really don't. I don't wish that upon him. I do not wish that upon him. I really don't. That's why I hope they win a few games, man. I'm just telling you right now.
Because right now, Cleveland's 3-2. The way they're going, they might still be doing some winning.
Yeah, because if Teddy Bridgewater goes to Tampa... If Teddy Bridgewater goes to Tampa, he will not succeed well. I'm telling you right now.
I don't think it will be that good for him just because he's going to be back here. I think, like I said, I think there's a reason he went to Louisville. I think he wanted to get out of Florida and get away from that Miami, Carroll City area, wherever he's from, and, you know, and get a fresh start. So I think there's a reason for all that. And, you know, like I said, I don't think nothing good will come back from Florida. You know, I think he wanted a fresh start, and I think he got it out there. So I don't think he wants to come back here either. But I wanted to jump back over something we kind of jumped over. Mr. Tony Romo text, what's going on with your quarterback, man? 500 yards, 5 touchdowns, and he still can't win the game. What's going on?
You know, he did what he does, man. He makes that crucial mistake at the end of games. And when you really need for him to come through, and the Cowboy fans down here, they just don't want nobody just simply wants to say, okay, in crunch time, when we need him to win, in the past 8 times where the game has come down to a possession, where the Cowboys can win, Romo has finished each drive with an interception.
When is the last time the Cowboys has ever had a quarterback that can be as a clutch? I mean, Troy Aikman was the ultimate great. Troy Aikman was the ultimate game manager, man. Hand the ball off to him. By the third and fourth quarter, we're already blowing teams out, please. Let me just give me that Troy Aikman mess.
You're saying the last time the Cowboys had a clutch quarterback was Roger Staubach?
Probably. I don't know. I don't know who was after him. I don't know. Probably. I would have to say so. I don't know. I heard the guy after Staubach was pretty good. I think his name was Steve White or something like that. I heard he was a pretty good quarterback. I wasn't watching football then. I wasn't even alive. Anyway, I heard he was a pretty good quarterback for a little while. But the clutch, yeah, probably back then, Roger Staubach or somebody like that. Aikman was the dude that just handed off to Emmitt. Aikman just handed off to Emmitt.
Wrong.
Man, you don't get it. I said he's better than your boy Eli Manning.
The one thing that I want to point out about this game is, yes, Romo shows Romo, but did Peyton Manning not show Peyton Manning too? Because he threw an interception right before Romo did. That had a Romo not thrown interception would have cost Denver the game.
Yeah, but as you
well,
said,
we don't know if he goes now.
So Peyton Manning won.
But this is here's the thing though. Manning's throwing an interception at the end of the third quarter. You know, Romo always throwing an interception when it's a minute left. They're going down the field the other way.
That's different. And also, Tony, you got to look at the Broncos' defense, though. They allow 48 points, man. They first was leading pretty much most of the game, and you let the Cowboys get closer like that. So,
my point is still what it is. It was a tight game. Anybody could win. And the first person to fold was Peyton Manning. But lucky for him, he had somebody that folds even worse than he does, and that's Tony Romo.
Troy Aikman said that Romo was better than him, too. I just want to put that out there.
I can't call
Troy
Aikman
said that Romo was better than him.
Yes, he did. He did.
You
want that information? I'll show it to you. I'll give it to you. Hold on. I'll put it on the CMT website.
I'm not even about to argue Tony Romo over Troy Aikman.
That's an insane argument. All I'm going to say is this. The thing that should be bothering everybody in Dallas is the response that Jerry Jones gave. Basically, after this game that Tony Romo threw away, he pulled Tony Romo into his chest and pulled out his nipple and gave him some milk. And you can't keep breastfeeding the quarterback like that. If he didn't have anything constructive criticism to say about Romo, he shouldn't have just said anything at all. But the statement by Jerry Jones lets me know that the Cowboys are content with mediocrity.
It's the arrogance of the owner. The arrogance of the owner is what put Tony Romo in to begin with. That's why Bill Parcells quit being the head coach at Dallas. It's because it was the owner that told him, I want Romo in, and he said, that's not who I want to be my quarterback, and he quit. Romo has been screwing up ever since, and he has been trying to prove to everybody that he was right and he's wrong.
Yeah, but Parcells bought Tess DeVerde in. You know what I'm saying? Parcells, you know, he put his foot in his ass and kicked himself out of here too.
Yeah.
I know. I got plenty of war room stories about them. Plenty of war room stories about Bill Parcells and his BS.
I'm talking about Biff Parcells and Jerry Jones on Tech or Biff Parcells and Vinny.
Jerry Jones did not fire Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells quit.
Good. It was good that he did because he was slowing this franchise down.
I disagree. Was the franchise better before or after he got there? The franchise was worse after he left. He put
a little bit together, but as years went by, they regressed. And Bill Parcells, he intentionally passed on a whole lot of players, man.
Y'all don't understand.
Like Steven Jackson. It's like Steven Jackson when he was there. He took Julius Jones.
That whole.
That's true. But he did do that.
That whole
that
Julius
was stupid.
Jones and Steven Jackson and Maurice Carthon thing still pisses me off today.
That was bad. That was a bad move by Parcells. But he did draft DeMarcus Ware. He did draft DeMarcus Ware.
No, well, you always get it. You always get some players.
Yeah,
you want to downplay that, though, Tex, right?
Look who he drafted in that same draft, Erastus James. What that cat do? Not even in the. And Bobby Carpenter, he drafted him too.
I thought he was a productive player though, wasn't he? Bobby Carpenter.
Not to take that out.
No.
Bobby Carpenter was playing off of he was playing off of AJ Hawk's greatness at Ohio State. But he wasn't AJ Hawk wasn't that great.
And AJ Hawk is his average was great.
The bottom line that I'm trying to make is Jerry Jones is all in on Tony Romo. And he is going to live and die, and his team is going to live and die with Tony Romo.
He ain't going to die because he owns the team.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He'll let the team go down just to keep Tony Romo because his ego ain't going to let him accept that he was wrong.
Well, so he's Al Davis Jr., basically? That's what he is?
I already just vetted that argument a couple of shows ago, Carlos. Two different guys.
I don't know about that, man.
I'll say this. Look who Al Davis' last draft pick was, Terrell Pryor. That's it. Al Davis.
Yeah,
but
look at the rest of them. He's made some. Al Davis made some crazy bad draft picks, man. Jamarcus Russell and Darius Hayward Bay.
Jamarcus Russell was.
He paid Anandi like $16 million.
Number one, no matter what.
He was the consensus number one pick. I mean, player that year, Clausell.
And so it's a bad pick. He paid $96 million.
I'll say this.
Calvin Johnson was on the board. He picked Jamarcus Russell. Come on, man.
He was a consensus number one.
I don't care what he was. He shouldn't have picked him. He should have known better.
Lane Kiffin warned him
not to pick him, but he did it anyway.
For every goof Al Davis did, there was a Nnamdi Asamoah who everybody questioned. But when he turned all pro, nobody could say nothing. And nobody gave Al Davis.
Yeah, but he overpaid him. He paid him $16 million. Like $5 or $6 million than the next defensive back.
Was
he the best in the league? Was he better than Darrell Revis? Was he better than Darrell Revis? Nope. Was he better than Darrell Revis? Nope.
You
don't
hear
about Al Davis.
I just want to say this. I respect Al Davis.
I do respect him, but I think Jerry Jones is becoming Al Davis Jr. It looks like that. That's what it looks like.
This
looks like
Davis.
He's becoming Al Davis Jr.
He don't even know
toward the end of Al Davis Jr.
He don't even know much about, football, talent and personnel, which Al Davis was that, what I'm saying? So I wouldn't even compare the two like that. Like Jimmy Johnson said, Jimmy don't know, he just know business. He don't know all about football.
Who are you talking about, Jimmy?
Right there. Jimmy said, I was going back in the day when before he was leaving, they was interviewing Jerry and Jimmy. It was right there. Bob Cox was asked, do you respect Jerry Jones' knowledge of the football? And Jimmy had that look saying, well, I've been around the game for almost 30 years and stuff. And said, I have mine on knowing what I know about the game. That's pretty much saying, Jimmy Jones.
Well, they played
Jerry
on the
Jones,
same college football team. They played on the same college football team.
I'm talking about, but he had with Jerry Jones.
He's been coaching. Yeah, Jimmy's been coaching for 30 years.
Yeah, but he
knows
the game personnel. Jerry was business. So, that's when they asked him that question. He was all like, nah. What is Jerry telling me? So that pretty much showed you right there.
No, but Jerry was able to prove that, I can put anybody in there and win a championship because he got Barry Switzer and won another championship.
But that was Jimmy's players. How many other championships
he won? I thought Jerry Jones got those players too. But anyway, let me.
That was Jimmy Johnson. Who made that trade? Jimmy Johnson made that trade. Not Jerry Jones approved it, but Jimmy had, you know, saying made, you know, made it happen. Jerry Jones didn't make that trade happen. If Jerry Jones was that smart, how come the Cowboys not like they were when Jimmy Johnson was there?
All right, we just move on.
Yeah, I just want to move on too.
Text, know what I'm saying?
All right, now, John Clayton has said the playoff platform will be different in 2014. I want to know what's your opinion on that right now?
Oh, I was gonna say Clyde's there. Now I heard it's 2015. Now I just saw it. They trying to talk.
Oh, 2015. Oh, this was you who said that.
Yeah,
oh, my bad. Let's not go there. My bad. That's not on the list. All right. Who is the offensive and defensive players of the year right now? Who would you take?
I had no count on that, man. There's still some more football to be played, man.
As of right now, up to date. Who you got
right now? Right now, offensive player of the year is, and let me say that there's a difference between the most valuable player and the offensive player of the year. Offensive player of the year right now is probably Jimmy Graham.
Probably over Jimmy Peyton Manning?
Right now. You didn't hear what I just said. I said there's a difference between offensive player of the year and the MVP.
Oh, okay.
I'll say this, though.
Player of the year is Jimmy Graham. Your MVP right now is probably Peyton Manning, but if I have to go with an offensive player of the year, I got to go with Jimmy Graham. Defensive player of the year right now, I know who you think it is, but really, to be honest with you, right now, the defensive player of the year is probably Kiko Alonso. And if you haven't seen him play, you need to see him play.
I agree with Tex about the MVP. I mean, ain't nobody come close to him. I think he's going to win that unanimously the way he's going. He's going to probably set a whole record into this year when it's said and done. I say Manning right there. Might be
Jackson,
player of the year, too, the way he's doing. Just give him both the award.
All right, Callie Mike, who you got?
For offensive player of the year, I'm going to take Graham. I mean, like I say, you know, Tex said the difference between MVP and offense. I think just because of what he's doing this year from that tight end position, I mean, if he keeps on this pace, he's going to be approaching, you know, Jerry Rice, Randy Moss type of numbers for the season, which is awesome from a tight end position.
Yeah.
So, you know, and also, like, I mean, that's also a testament to Drew Brees, too, man. Like I say, Drew Brees, Marcus Colston, you know, those are two underrated dudes. And, you know, everybody, Colston always flies on everybody's radar, but he always, you know, Brees keeps him on top, too. You know, but like I say, you know, I go with Graham for the offensive player of the year. And Manning for MVP.
Wiley? What's your take?
Right now, as of week 5, offensive player of the year would still have to be Peyton Manning. And defensive player of the year, oh, my goodness. That's a tough one because right now
there are several guys
that are doing good. I wouldn't be able to narrow it down to just one because I've seen a couple of cornerbacks that are just killing it.
Hey, Tony, is Darrell Revis one of them? Like, I really haven't heard too much about Revis. How is he doing in Tampa?
Well, he did pretty good a couple of weeks ago when they played, but I don't know if Revis would be my top. I don't know. For me, the guy from Houston,
J.J. Watt.
Oh God, I can't think of his name. Watt. Yeah, he's doing pretty good. The cornerback from Cleveland, Hayden or Haddon or something like that.
That boy from Florida, Joe Hayden.
That boy is killing it.
God.
And I would say right now, if I had to choose somebody, I'd probably go with Miller, Von Miller from from Denver.
He hasn't played yet, Tony. He comes back this week, so you get a chance to see what he do.
Well, I got Patrick Peterson as my defensive player of the year so far, and Peyton Manning as my offensive player of the year.
Offensive player of the year, MVP.
Oh, both. I got.
We're not talking about MVP right now.
Oh, that's what I said. Offensive player of the year. I got Peyton as offensive player of the year too.
Okay, yeah, for my defensive player, I'm gonna take Richard Sherman.
I gotta go with J.J. Watt, I guess.
All right, so let's move on here because we're about to wind down here. Let's do some picks here for this week, and if I can load this up here real quick, we will do who plays this weekend. Denver, no.
Yeah, no, that's
these are reaction games. Okay, we already did that. So there is no picks this weekend. What about Chicago and New York? What's your take on that game?
That's what you think, man.
I got two upsets this week. I know we're not talking about it, but I'm gonna take Oakland this week, and I'm taking the Giants.
Okay.
You're going to be wrong on the Giants.
Maybe.
I think the best game this week is going to be that New Orleans-New England game.
Right. Oh, yes, who you got on that? Who people got on that?
I got New Orleans.
I'm going with New England.
I'm going with New England, too. What about you, Cali Mike?
New Orleans.
All right. What about Pittsburgh at the Jets?
Bad.
Sorry.
Okay.
What about Pittsburgh and the Jets? Tex.
Ah, goodness, man. That's you know what? I gotta take Pittsburgh. I have to take Pittsburgh. I think these guys, even while they're struggling, I think there's a ton of pride there. I think Tomlin will have them ready. I think LeBeau, given 2 weeks to prepare for a rookie quarterback, I think it works to their advantage. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
All right. Cool. What about Cali Mike?
I'm going to go with the Jets, man. I don't know, man. They're not the same. A lot of guys didn't work out for them. I'm not a fan of Isaac Redman as running back. I just don't like a lot of things. I don't like a lot of pieces on their team right now. I just don't. I know there's some other passing guys who are injured. But like I said, I just don't like the way they're looking right now. They're kind of banged up. And even I think if they weren't all the way banged up, they're still not as talented as previous Pittsburgh teams. You look at a lot of these Pittsburgh teams. Yes, they were powered by Ben Roethlisberger, but you know they've always had a Willie Parker or Rashard Mendenhall or Jerome Bettis. You know, there's always some guy. Bettis was at the end of his career, but they've always had some guy to tote the rock. And I'm not too sure of Jonathan Dyer and Isaac Redman are the guys who can do that. So I can't put any confidence behind them. And Jets have been looking pretty well. They looked good last week, so. I'll go ahead and go
like that. All right. So, we're going to put okay, what did you say?
Me.
I forgot you just sat there.
Yeah, I got Big Ben. He's in the top 5, top 10 quarterbacks in the league. They're going to find a way to get it done. Mike Tomlin, Dick LeBeau. Like you said, and they're going to have fun for Geno Smith. He's a rookie and everything. I think Pittsburgh is going to come out, and we're going to probably start being a good game, but I think Pittsburgh is going to pull and win. Mike made some good points. It's not the same team like it usually be, but like you said, they still got a franchise quarterback, not Big Ben. And that's going to be the difference.
Okay, Watley, and then we're going to go to Steve. I put Steve on.
So, Steelers, bottom line.
Steelers? Okay, Steve, who you got?
Out of the Steelers and who, the Jets?
Yeah.
I got the Jets, man. But I want to talk about
that. Was there anything you had to say based on some comments that we said earlier? Because we're about to wrap up the show.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to just to put my picks, you know what I mean? Like the Giants and the Bears. I don't even know why you would pick the Giants. They're super garbage right now. And
yeah.
That's the Bears why I don't even have to stay by it.
Oh no, not really. I think it's just a trap game. I think it's a trap game week for a lot of teams, man.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I just had that feeling.
Okay, what about this game here? I'm gonna start you.
Jay, super guard.
Watley. The Bucks and the Eagles. Who you got?
I am all over Philadelphia. I'm going to be at that game screaming for Michael Vick.
He ain't playing.
I don't know. I didn't hear that. They say he ain't playing. Ruled him out. I didn't hear nothing about it. What did you hear about him being ruled out?
He ain't playing. Nick Foles is starting. He hurt. Michael Vick is hurt.
Vick ain't going to play?
No, Vick ain't going to play. All right, this is the last. Yeah, Vick ain't playing. This is the last one here. Oh, this is the last one. Redskins versus Cowboys, night game. Let's throw it to you, Kelly Mike. We're going to wrap it up after this.
Dallas had a pretty tough loss last week. I'm not big on Dallas right now. So I'm going to go ahead and go with this game.
All right. Shot-town.
I'm going with the Cowboys. I'm not sold on the Redskins. I still don't think RG3 is RG3. You know, it might be ugly. You know, it's a rivalry game. It might be really ugly. I think the Cowboys might blow the Redskins out.
All right. Steve, what's your take?
I'm going with the Cowboys. I don't see anybody on their defense stopping Dez Bryant. So I got to go with the Cowboys. And
right.
I got to put my 2 cents in before you go to that. I just thought about something. The Cowboys have the Jimmy Johnson curse. I was with my boy that liked the Bears. They got the Jimmy Johnson curse. Ever since they got rid of Jimmy Johnson, the Cowboys ain't been shit. So that's just the way it's going to be. And that's just enough of that discussion.
All right. Wiley.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys, even though I think – Tony Romo is garbage.
Oh. All right, Tex. Finally, Tex.
I guess I'll go with Dallas, but, you know.
Yes, that's all right, Tex. You ain't going to win, man.
No, man, I'm a spectator, man. I ain't no fanatic. I'm just a fan, so.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank everybody for listening to the show. We are leaving for today, and we will be back here next Wednesday to give you live, unedited, unscripted, raw, objective analysis on major college professional football. We'd like to thank everybody for listening. If you want to listen to our show, go to our CNT Firestone website, and we will post a link to the show. Peace and good love. Have a good day.
Bye-bye, everybody.